It's Tuesday of the third week of Lent and the Feast of the Annunciation. Welcome to today's Lentcast. This is Father John Zulsdorf. Following the spiritual course of Lent today, our Roman station is at Santa Pudenziana. Tradition holds that St. Pudens was a Roman senator who hosted St. Peter in his house for some 6 years. Perhaps the first Mass St. Peter offered in Rome took place here. There was a Pudens named by St. Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and there's an inscription here that says that Pudens hosted Peter. Tradition also says that Pudens had two daughters, Pudenziana and Praxedes, who were active in collecting the remains of martyrs and interring them here in a well within their home. The church on this site is called Pudenziana. Not far, just near Santa Maria Maggiore, up the hill, is a beautiful church named for St. Praxedes. The original oratory here in honor of St. Peter seems to have been built into the senator's home in the time of Pius I. In the 4th century, in 384, Pope Siricius dedicated a church here in honor of Peter and decorated the apse with a mosaic that is still extant. It is the oldest Christian mosaic in Rome. The present interior is mostly from the 16th century, and the altar contains wood fragments said to be from a table on which St. Peter celebrated his first Mass in Rome. Today is also the feast of the Archangel of the Annunciation, St. Gabriel, in the traditional calendar, which logically falls before the Feast of the Annunciation. Gabriel is mentioned twice in the book of Daniel. In some traditions, he is thought to have inspired Moses to write and was the one who came to Anne, the mother of Mary, and Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, and informed the dreams of St. Joseph and appeared to the myrrh-bearing women after the resurrection and will be the one to blow the trumpet when the dead shall rise. Cardinal Schuster remarks that the date of March 25th was not fixed arbitrarily, but arises from that of the Nativity, which occurs 9 months later, and even as early as the 7th century, the first date was supported by so venerable and universal a tradition that when the Council of Trullo in 692 forbade the celebration of the feast of any martyr during Lent, it made a special exception for that of the Incarnation of our Lord on March 25th. It cannot be denied that whilst the spirit of the liturgy is already intent upon the contemplation of the mystical Lamb of God immolated upon Calvary on the eve of the Pasch, it appears a somewhat sudden and violent change to turn abruptly in the middle of Lent from the cross to the joyful mysteries of the house of Nazareth. But of greater weight than all these considerations, which are largely of a subjective nature, it is the solemn event and the historic date of March 25th, which inaugurates the New Testament, so much so that in the early Middle Ages it was regarded among the Christian nations as the true commencement of the civil year. From Meditations for Each Day by Antonio Cardinal Bacci. The love which we have for God, our Creator, Redeemer, and Benefactor, should not be merely sentimental. It must be effective. When love is sincere, it is active. It is not enough to say, "I love you, O my God." We must show by our actions that we love Him. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven," Jesus tells us, "but he who does the will of my Father in heaven shall enter the kingdom of heaven." Our love must be active, therefore. Moreover, we must avoid and detest sin, because it is an offense against God, and we must strive to become holy. This involves sacrifice, but sacrifice is the touchstone of love. Anyone in love is not afraid of sacrifice. In fact, he looks for it in order to prove his love. Charity, like faith, is a lifeless thing if it is not accompanied by actions. We must love God by doing everything for love of Him. God will repay us generously, not only in the next life, but even in the present. Even on earth, the only real happiness is that which comes from Him.